to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Hi, it's me. Oh, what a week it has been. But it's the weekend and we're feeling good and feeling fabulous, I hope. I'm doing my best impression of someone feeling good and fabulous, so. I suppose we ought to get on with this episode, haven't we? Because if we don't, well, who knows what will happen. Something terrible, probably. I thought I might die when I espied the diamond she had put aside for me. Christmas morning, clasped in sugar paper under the plastic tree, I got lost in my luxurious imagination, picturing her braving the piercing pinches of the winter's wind on her fair skin, her collar high around her neck, hands digging in her pockets for warmth and comfort as she carefully examined each shop window for the one thing that would keep the attention of the wayward wretch she'd left at home. It was winter, but I was back in the summer of my life, given more time by the divine blessings of her affections, and it wasn't even the material possessions or dramatic, and quite welcome, proclamations of her devotion that did it for me. It was the way that she would watch me writing, late into the night, my mind just about managing to make sense of what I'd missed for the longest time, and how she'd wait by my side, gently coaxing me to the comfort of clean sheets, a kiss or three along tired shoulders, until I gave in to sleep and my dreams of diamonds. Alas, I have no diamonds yet. But one day. But little update from my dream girl. She appeared to me in a dream quite recently. She was wearing a coat. And she looked so beautiful. She had a scarf on, which I, for some reason, found very fetching. I don't know why. Never really thought about that before. Worried about what that could potentially unearth, but there we are. She had just got home. We're in this kitchen, and I don't know where it was because it's not a kitchen I've ever been in, but it was a kitchen nonetheless. And she had all these bags. She looked very, very beautiful. And there was snow in her hair. And I was sort of like brushing it off, and she was being very evasive, and I was like, "What's wrong with you? What's happening?" And she was like, "Can't look." And I was like, "Look at what?" And she was trying to hide the bags. And I was like, show me. Because you know me, I cannot wait for things. I have to have them right the fuck meow. And she's like, "No, it's for Christmas." Which I guess explains the snow. I don't think I can remember a time when it snowed around Christmas where I live. So must have been somewhere a bit more snowy, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm trying to get into these bags because I am terrible and wretched and awful. And she's like, no, it's a surprise. And I'm like, I don't care, I want it now. Because I'm a horrid brat. And then I woke up and I don't know. I just got the feeling it was diamonds. I am hoping that these are not just, you know, lovely little fantasy moments, but are actually some kind of future premonition, because I would really like that. Also, I was making her dinner, which I believe, if it is a premonition, would mean that I get better at cooking. So perhaps I ought to take some classes and kind of try and manifest this into being. Because, well, I want those diamonds, damn it. My violent vices are so beautiful in the moonlight of my musings. Menthol cigarettes, maddeningly short dresses, mono recordings of 1940s swing dances. These are the things that keep me sane while the wolves wait outside of my bunker. I'm in the arms of an old haunt tonight. He is harmed by the truth we both know, and he holds me as if he knows that I am bound to evaporate when the sun rises. He lets me cry like a child in his charmed embrace, keeping his own weeping for when I've gone, because it's hard to be in love with a long gone fantasy, and that's all I ever was, clear as day, transparent as dawn breaks. I have my coping mechanisms, but my lust for life has a death wish, and I can't do this, running in and out of darkened spaces, frightened of the light that shines within me and how I can never escape it. I tell him that I'm just trying to be a factual falsehood. And he just nods with a familiar sadness in his broken blue eyes. So I was watching Threads this morning because tis the season, I guess, you know, because Mad Vlad is out here. Like, if any of you try and intervene in me persecuting the people of Ukraine, I'm a fucking nuke, yeah, because, I mean, that's normal. So I was like, you know what, let me watch this. And I had to go out of my way because they recently announced they were putting it on BritBox, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically a scam if you're from the UK, because pretty much everything on BritBox is made using funding from my TV license, and yet I have to pay for it again. Audacious. But nevertheless, BritBox is a streaming service full of British television and film content and things. Quite a lot of it from the BBC. And therefore kind of sort of paid for with the TV license that I legally have to pay as somebody that watches live television. People outside of the UK always think that's such a weird thing. They're like, wait, you have to have a license for a TV? What? But like, it's complicated. I don't know. Anyway, so they announced that they were putting that movie on BritBox, and then they took it off because of the current situation. Which, I mean, I guess that makes sense, but so I went and I bought a copy so I could watch it because I was in the mood. If you don't know what it is a like a docudrama that was released in the 80s about what would happen if a nuclear missile was fired at the UK, specifically Sheffield, and all of the fun times that would ensue. So I, throughout most of my life, have kind of been nervously fixated on nuclear war for some reason. It's just, do you know what I think it is? I think it is growing up in a family that regularly went to CND meetings. if you, you know, if you spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, why we should get rid of nuclear weapons, you start to worry about what happens when we don't. So I don't know, maybe that's why, who knows. And so I started to watch that movie this morning, so I was like, fuck it, let's go, let's watch it. And I was just, I was sort of thinking to myself, I haven't written anything today. And I just kind of got to thinking, and I thought, you know, if that were to happen right now, right, obviously I have no idea what the fuck I would do. I think everyone likes to think they have a plan, but like, they don't, girl. Like, if those fucking, I'm assuming the sirens are working. I don't think the government are like, no, we've got Trident, we don't need anything else. I assume they have some kind of warning system to tell us. Although my phone is currently on do not disturb mode, so I do hope that whatever they have, it's not a phone notification, because I'm not gonna fucking know about it right now. I literally just scrolled down to check if I've missed any notifications that happen to be some kind of like thing from the government saying it's all gone to shit, get under a door. I wouldn't even know how to get a door off its hinges. All right, I am not those two people from When the Wind Blows. All right, I'm not that kind of girl. I don't know how to do it. I would be the wife like wandering around like, oh, are you joking? I've just washed all of the tea towels and things, and you expect me to sit here? My house is gonna get bombed. Oh, I don't think. Because these are the things. These are the things I think about. But anyway, and I thought to myself, not just about like what I would do in terms of like trying not to die. Although I probably would, because I live close enough to London that I would probably die. So that's great. Oh, to live up north. But not Sheffield, apparently. But I was thinking more like, you know, if I were to survive, you know. I don't know. I was just kind of thinking about the fact that most of my life has obviously involved great pretense, of course, the whole, you know, in terms of love and romance anyway. So if I knew the end of the world was coming, would I want to be true to myself, or would I want to just go back to some form of familiarity? Not so much comfort, because I was never comfortable, obviously, but just something I know. Because sometimes being happy involves the great unknown, you know. And even when I think about it, in a the world is ending and I can go one of two ways, are things like that even going to matter if, you know, the country is levelled and we're all battling with nuclear fallout? I don't know. But just in case it is, you know, my options are be authentic or pretend again, because it's... And I mean no offence here, I'm just being real. Because it is a numbers game, essentially. But it is quite a simple process, if you're a woman, to get a man. In the same way that if you're a man, it's a simple process to get a woman, you know. But it's probably harder for a man to find a man, you know. Because, I mean, there's a reason why anything other than heterosexuality is a minority. It's literally because there are more straight people, which is fine, you know. But there are things that come with that. You know, it's not just about physical, stuff like having sex and yada yada yada. It's also like so many other things that come with finding someone. It's comfort and intimacy and feeling like someone gives a damn what happens to you, and a sense of place and belonging. And I, if I'm being completely honest, I have had like these kind of temporary moments where I think I want those things, and it's going to be easier to have those things. Oh, full disclosure, by the way, this poem stopped being about nuclear war like after the first stanza. Like after that, it was like, this is not about the end of the world no more. This is just about human needs and how much we'll sacrifice to get it, you know. So it's like, I want those things, and intrinsically I know that I want them with a woman, but I also know, just from life experience and my very limited math skills, that it would be quicker and easier to find that with a man, because, you know, and this is again, like, no offense to men and things, but, you know, I go onto dating apps, right? And even though my profile is set to only be shown to women, even though all of my profiles literally say I'm only interested in them, I will still get men that like my profiles. Even on, bizarrely, apps that are literally just for women. That's a whole other discussion, like, God. You know, I will be approached in public by men that are interested in me, which is not super pleasant for me, I'm not gonna lie. But, you know, and this is not me being, like, vain or conceited and saying, you know, I'm, like, this super attractive, beautiful, perfect woman that every man just, like, falls on his feet for, because that's not true. You know, and I've never thought that to be true either. In fact, I have often thought the opposite, but I am aware that I am attractive to some men, and there are some men that are interested in me. Am I attractive to some women? Yes, but less women than men, purely because they're just less same-sex attracted women, which is a massive shame for me, but alas. And so, you know, if I was looking for that, it's easier to find it there. And I have these kind of temporary moments where I'm just thinking, I could just go back. Am I going to enjoy every aspect of it? No. Am I going to find parts of it very difficult? Sure. Are there going to be some parts where I will literally freak the fuck out? Yes. But to be held by someone, to be cared for, somewhat desired. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe it's not in the way I want, but it's something. Could I do that again? And I have that thought, and I think, could I do that again? You know, sometimes I think, in a way, no, girl, like, you you kind of you know, I don't think anyone's going to buy it at this point. Like, you publicly talked about everything. You know, you have fucking... There is now hours of content and an upcoming album that is literally about the fact that you, Miss Jennifer Wan, are a homosexual. Like, people know, girl. You also went into the intricacies of why you didn't say anything for the longest time. Why you did this whole fucking theatrical, ridiculous fucking performance of something else for literal decades. Okay, so you have gone out there, you fucking pulled the fucking curtain up, and you've told all your tea. You've been like, hello everyone, welcome to my twisted mind, or whatever. Like, the magic's gone, the jig is up, everybody fucking knows. Me still fucking deluded, like, well, I mean maybe I could still fool some people, it'll be fine, I could walk this back, it's okay. I, you know, if I'm not ready to do this, I don't have to do this, I can just go back. And it's like, girl, no, you can't. No, you fucking can't. And I don't think there was ever gonna be a moment where I was ready. Like, I don't. I really don't, because how do you prepare for something like that? You know, how do you prepare to be real? To be yourself when for a very long time it felt wrong. Like, it's hard to get through all that shit. So I don't think that there is like if I'd have waited like another 10 years, 20 years, whatever, I don't think that I would have felt ready at that point either. And I'd still have to have done all of this shit, all of this fucking unraveling of just years of self-hatred and fear. And I, you know, if I'd have just, you know, waited another 5 years, 10 years, whatever, I'd still be at the same point. And I'd still be having to deal with that shit. So, you know, I just kind of think, you know, when that happens, when I think about that, and I think, oh, I could just go back. I don't have to do this. You know, I thought that I couldn't live the way I was before, but what if I could? What if I could do that? But it's temporary, you know. It is. And I mean, the world could fucking end. Do I want to end it in a familiar lie? Or do I want to end it in an uncertain but authentic truth? Who fucking knows at this point? I don't. My shoes are my own, cheap, unchallenging, made for me to meander and muse while I sing the blues and cry with the eyes of a criminal. Someone told me once that I couldn't be captured, and it consumed me because it felt like a fated prophecy, some kind of inexplicable, inescapable destiny. And the lines on my hand all seemed to lead that way, so I began flying at night, so I kept my feet on the ground. I have suffered for every syllable and stanza. I don't expect you to accept that because you've invented a perception of me in your head, once one that you adored and now one that you despise. And while I'm not interested in trying on either costume, I just thought you should know that my shoes are my own and the words are weaved within me, tangled in a trending scale of my moods. But I've always grown, and they have always grown in the way I could never convince a child to do. If a heart was found bleeding, then I don't know why anyone would look at me. My hands are as always immaculately clean, never holding a knife to the soft skin of hope, never bruising anything but an ego that was forthcoming with false apologies that faded in the scrutiny of sunlight. You broke your own heart, babe. You stood above your own bed, broke inside your own chest, and crushed your heart until it stopped beating. I just sat at your bedside aghast, asking why you do something so self-sabotaging. And might have been worth it if I got any good work out of it. Worth it to feel degraded and like I'd fallen back to a place I couldn't escape. And even now, you act like you couldn't understand my apprehension while repeating a bullshit mantra of, I hear you, I feel you, I see you. You see what you want to see. You hear the no and you ask again anyway. You feel aggrieved telling your few followers all about me. But you don't mention the pressure and the guilt trips and the gaslighting and the drip, drip, drip assault of my boundaries because you only hear me when I'm reading your script. And if you feel amateur, well, take a writing class. It would definitely help. So today's lesson, my children, is don't fucking come for me unless I send for you. If you're gonna shoot an arrow, bitch, you better not miss. Because I have always got time to be petty. I have always got time to be petty. And talk a little shit. I've always got the time, darling. Doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing, I will make time. Because it's what I do. It's what I do. So, I mean, here's the tea. Here's the tea. I met somebody. And I thought things were gonna go well. It was cool, it was nice. It was a bit intense, but I was like, it's cool, man. Let's roll with the punches, it's all good. And then there was this kind of like real intense pressure, you know, and kind of guilt trips and making me feel bad. And I was like, okay, this is not chill. This is not very punk rock. So I kind of pushed back a little and I was like, okay, let's just calm the fuck down. Let's just like not do that because that's actually really quite fucked up behavior. And, you know, I get an apology and I'm like, okay, fine. Let's try and see if we can move forward with this. But it just keeps coming because the apology is not real, girl. It's not real. So I'm like, okay, fine. Let's say goodbye because this is not going to work. I am at this point in my life where I'm not here for that. You know, I'm not gonna be I'm not going to be... Okay, does anyone know that song, Sugar Baby, by Megan Thee Stallion? Okay, so I'm not talking about all the other stuff. I'm not out here trying to get people's cash. I mean, if you would like the illusion of me being your sugar baby, you can always donate to my Ko-fi in the description, or my PayPal. Or you can sign up with Patreon, but like, I'm not gonna have sex with you, just like FYI. It's not gonna happen, I'm sorry. No, but there's a line in the song where she says, I'm paraphrasing, so I can't remember exactly, but she's basically saying, I'm not gonna do anything I don't wanna fucking do. And I'm very much in that energy right now. For a very long time, my life has essentially been doing things I don't want to fucking do. And I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do that anymore. And not only do I mean that in the sense of not allowing myself to make myself do those things, because that is what was happening a lot before. I was making myself do things I didn't want to do. It was not the case that I was being forced by other people, I guess, you know, unless you mean like societal pressure, but like, you know, the calls were kind of like coming from inside the house. I was making myself do things. But, you know, I also mean in the sense of other people kind of, you know, pressuring me, manipulating me. I'm not doing that either. Like, that's not happening. I am, when I find someone and I want to be with them, they will get like the whole experience, everything, you know. I will, you know, just like I always have been, but like I'll actually be there voluntarily this time, and not like in a making myself do it way. Like, you know, I will be true to them, I'll be open, I'll be loving, and all that good stuff. They will get all of that. And the only thing that I'm really looking for from the other person is for me to be treated kindly, like nicely, like that's all. Like, don't fucking guilt trip me. Don't make me feel bad for needing to have quite normal boundaries, you know? It's like, like, don't be fucking getting in a fucking strop with me because I didn't text you back as quick as you'd like, or because I don't feel super chill with staying over, or all that shit. Like, don't do that to me. Don't fucking, don't do all that, you know? I was, and so when that shit starts happening, I'm like, no, it's not. We're not gonna do that. We're not in that era today. I'm sorry. You should have been here like a year ago during like my doormat era or whatever. You would have had a lovely time, but we're not doing that today. So I, you know, I'm out of there. You know, but I felt kind of bad because, you know, things kind of ended, and it was all quiet. And then a couple of days later, this person then messages me and they tell me that they miss me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I felt bad. And thinking about it, I think that was probably the plan. I think they probably wanted me to feel bad. And I did. I felt guilty. Because I then again had to put up another boundary, and I was like, look, you know, I'm sorry that maybe you feel sad, but I'm not really cool with this. I, you know, and then again, they're making me feel bad for putting up that boundary. And I'm like, this is why we don't talk anymore. Oh my God. But it was kind of playing on my mind, because I'm thinking to myself, am I being too harsh? Am I am I wrong? You know, was I, you know, should I, you know, see if another chance is possible? Like, am I being a fucking bitch here? Like, I don't know. So I was kind of thinking about it a lot, and I felt really bad. I was kind of worried about them. So I thought, I don't want to just like go in there and just like fucking talk to them. I had a plan. So I went and I checked their socials, because I thought, I can see kind of what's been going on, because this was a kind of, you know, she was posting regularly. So I thought, well, let's just go see what's been going on, what's been up. Because this might just be me fucking acting all concerned shit for no reason. It might be that she's fine, she's having a lovely time, she's met somebody, it's all fabulous, who knows. So I go on there and I see that that she has she's decided she's a writer now. Everybody's at it. And she has written something that is very fucking clearly about me. It's called Writer. It's talking about basically this horrid fucking writer that apparently only goes out with people to have stuff to write about. talking all this shit, basically. Like, it's clearly about me, and this isn't me about like being fucking paranoid or nothing, because girl, she called her best friend. I didn't call him, but I text him and I was like, babe, am I being crazy, or like, what do you think? Because he's a writer too. He knows his shit too. Like, here's the thing, by the way, and I feel like this is, you know, important to note. I've been writing since childhood, and I have a fucking degree in the subject. Like, you know, I know how to break down and analyze poetry. I know all the tells. Like, there is even little bits in here that, like, and I swear to you, this isn't, like, me being fucking self-absorbed. Because, girl, like, there's alliteration, which I do all the time. Ending shit with a question, lots of personification. Again, these are all things that are, you know, key features of things I write as well. I was just very obvious and very fucking deliberate. And so I showed my friend, and he was like, yeah, this is blatant. Like, this is so clear. I've never seen anything that is more an attempt to drag you than this. And I was like, yeah, we knew, girl. So my first instinct, I snapped and I wrote that, because I was like, you fucking what, darling? Excuse-moi? Oh, don't even. Don't fucking, I can't believe I was fucking feeling bad for you. I was feeling fucking guilty about me just having boundaries and me wanting to protect my heart. And meanwhile, you're cooking up this? Okay, girl. So I decided to be a little bit petty. And then I... I I said to her, stop fucking writing about me. And if you are going to write about me, don't fucking lie. Because this was not something I went into trying to find shit to write about. If I want to find shit to write about, I'll use my fucking imagination. I literally just wrote a whole album about a woman that doesn't even exist. You think I can't invent muses in my head? Girl. And so I was like, look, if you're going to write about me, at least tell the truth. At least tell people that the reason we don't talk is because, you know, you have some, you know, thing about, like, you know, pushing people's boundaries and shit. It's not because I'm some heartless bitch that was out here looking for something to fill a stanza with. Like, I write every fucking day. I don't need help. Like, I can spin something out the most mundane shit. I remember once I just saw, like, a lone dandelion on a fucking pavement, and I wrote like 3 stanzas about it. I don't go. I actually made up some ridiculous thing. It's just like, oh yeah, I've been, you know, I've been writing a book, and it's actually about me, about something someone said to me. And I'm like, how come you never mentioned this book once? We spent ages talking about my writing, and you never thought to say, oh, by the way, I'm a writer too, and I'm releasing a book. Go bye. Go bye. I have to laugh. Like, I have to laugh because it was just... Anyway, if you're gonna try and drag me, at least tell the truth and at least make it good. That's all I have to say. Better yet, don't try, because you're not gonna have fun. It's not gonna be a fun time for you. My father was a man of few words and a man of many drinks, losing the will to love somewhere around my mother's second trimester. And maybe it's my fault for forsaking my sense of sentiment and writing off his rage as just a temporary temperament, but it's just what you do, isn't it? Saving the day with some new excuse, letting my soul be used until there was nothing left. I had a wild heart once upon a time, bound never to be broken, but he drank it dry. Like every bar he entered, every second he chose to be the center of, afraid that if he wasn't loud and alive in my lucid moments, that he would simply stop existing. He wrote me a letter once, weak-willed and wading in weasel words, a can I speak to the manager kind of meandering thing, as if a daughter is a darling that can be managed. As if I could just adjust myself to his liking, on top of all the other things I was handling. And I wrote back, just as weak, meek, and hopeful. I feel very fortunate that my mum fucking rules, because... No, I do. My mum is great. She is a really lovely person, and she's really sweet and kind, and she's just wonderful. And the reason that I say that is because, and this is something that over the years, I think I have struggled to be okay with. My dad is terrible. He is. Like, if he was someone else's dad, I'd be like, goal. He's a terrible person. He's a bad person. And you should just like cut him off. Don't talk to him. Don't speak to him. He doesn't exist to you. But because it's me, I'm like, no. Just give him another chance, whatever. And I think in part, I very much kind of glossed over pretty much all of his negative parts because he's no longer here. And so for me, it was like, I have to kind of mythologize him, and it kind of creates almost like a false memory of this wonderful man that essentially doesn't exist, but I needed him to exist for my sense of self. But maybe not. I mean, in a way, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a psychologist or like a doctor or like a, you know, a really smart person or anything, but in a way, I think it was because of what it meant for me, you know, because I can see things in my mum that are in me. Not as much as I'd like, honestly. My mum is a much better person than I am. and also, you know, she has like skills and talents that I don't have. For example, she's a very talented artist, and you know, visual art and stuff. And I didn't inherit that. My brother did. He's very good, but I can't. I can't do that shit. She's a very good cook. I am, you know, passable, but my brother is very good, you know, that sort of thing. So you know, there are parts of her that exist in me too, and if I'm to accept that my father is a bad person, then that's hard to take, because it means, well, what if that's here too, you know. And that's, I don't know about that. I've kind of always, and I think this is again why I kind of, you know, created a better version of him to remember. But I have always kind of had an awareness, I say always, but it's kind of something that kicked in when I became an adult. And I just kind of became aware that I was a disappointment to him, I think, because I wasn't the daughter that he wanted or expected. I think that there are a number of things that he was unhappy with. One in particular, I'm sure you can guess which one it was. And his reaction to that, I feel, was one of the major catalysts in me trying very desperately to be something else, to essentially win the approval of a man that, if I'm honest, was also a great disappointment to me. If he wants to be fucking disappointed, well, me too. I'm fucking disappointed. You know, this is a man that, in the grand scheme of things, and if I'm being honest, didn't... This might sound harsh, but who cares? He's not exactly gonna come round here and get mad at me for fucking saying it, is he? I am his only real achievement. Me and his other children, we are his only achievements. He never achieved anything other than us. Like, that is it. Like, he doesn't have any other real accomplishments, any legacy. He didn't have a particularly great career that we as his children could be proud of. You know, he hasn't really accomplished much in his life apart from getting women that were frankly too good for him pregnant, Like, that's it. And he wasn't a great father. He wasn't good at that. So, you know, if he's going to be disappointed, fine. So am I. I too would like to speak to the fucking manager, because where's my get a refund on you, bitch? I don't know, man. I remember one of my friends, this is years and years and years ago, and he said to me about how children don't owe their parents anything. Parents owe their children, because parents, you know, they wanted the child. They are the reason why the child is where they are. And it's their job to parent them, look after them, all that kind of stuff. But a child doesn't owe a parent anything, because a child never asked to be there. I don't owe that man a perfect daughter, in his opinion. According to my mum, I'm delightful, so at least one of my parents is pleased, and that's nice. You know, I think I turned out all right, actually, you know, to be fair to me. I'm sort of nice sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. I work hard. I'm alive, and that's really all they can ask for. I'm still showing up day after day, and and it's okay if he was never happy with me and what I was and who I was, because most of the time I am, and occasionally sometimes I'm not, but one day I probably will be all the time. And that's enough for me, I think. I hope so, anyway.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com. Or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever, with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top 10.